Hey, folks, welcome on into the second half of Sports Talk this Thursday, July 24th edition. We're on the second day of Saints training camp. Going off today, another short session for the Black and Gold, but Coach Kellen Moore let us know that that was going to be the case for yesterday's workout. Also today, we'll see what happens with tomorrow's session, expected to be a little bit longer now, and that is dictated by the CBA. Nothing had to do with Coach Moore calling these early practices. That's all negotiated through the players and the union. The Black and Gold, like I said, back in action today and had two new players out on the field that were recently signed. So some new numbers to keep an eye on while you're taking attendance. Jonathan Bullard is wearing the number 58 and safety Julian Blackman donning 28. Both were officially signed to the team on Wednesday. We're going to have a big Soundbank 6 o'clock hour here on Sports Talk. Soundbank brought to you by the First American Bank. First up, head coach Kellen Moore, who addressed the media after day two of camp, and here's what he had to say.
Two transactions today, Julian Blackman, Jonathan Bullard. Got a chance to sign those guys, so fired up to have them a part of our team. Really good work today, a little bit more of a red zone theme today, just coming into the second day as we can continue the acclimation period and build this thing up. And so excellent work, good energy, really enjoyed it.
Do you mind the dust up that we had there near the end? I mean, obviously it's expected. Like, what are your opinions?
Those things are going to come up. You're going through great work, and so obviously you want to try and eliminate them as much as you can, but sometimes it's good to get guys to rally together, and we'll be just fine.
How much do you guys study efficiency of time? Because the amount of stuff you guys get done is kind of staggering relative to everything else we've seen around here. How much do you study that, plan it out, and how much effort goes into it?
Certainly we spend a lot of time just trying to be as detailed as we possibly can, get the drills, be really clean, operate at a really high level, because again, we got to maximize every chance we get out here and put these guys in a really good position to be successful so that tomorrow will be our third day in a row, which is kind of the longest length we'll go in a row, which will be our third day, so it'll be the first time they'll do that. They'll have to push through it. It'll be a really good test for them, and we'll just continue to build as we go.
Is there something behind red zone on day two that you like?
Yeah, just to bring the distance down a little bit. Yesterday was their first day going, which was a go get it, and they opened up and they had to run, and now we kind of tighten the space just to limit some of those long distances. Sometimes there's some sports science associated with that, just as far as protecting these guys.
You mentioned the other day about that there's quarterbacks are going to throw interceptions in camp. We saw the first one today.
Yep.
So now what are you wanting to see after that?
Yeah, it's always about how you respond to adversity. And so guys are going to make mistakes. Spencer threw an interception today in a red zone period, which he'd done so many good things down there. And those one moments change games. And so he gets to evaluate it, learn from it. And I thought he responded really well.
What do you think about Tyler Shuck getting
a chance? Yeah, we'll continue to go through that process for all these guys. I thought Tyler did a good job working with those guys, communicating at a really high level, and that'll be a great experience for all these guys just to continue to rotate with those guys.
We're going to be able to talk to the quarterbacks today. You played quarterback. What's it like training camp competition, as a quarterback when you're in the battle?
Yeah, it's just focus on the task at hand. Focus on your reps, your opportunities. You can't get too distracted in that there's other people a part of a competition. You focus on yourself, whether it's 6 reps that day, 4 reps, 10 reps, whatever it may be. Just keep getting better. Learn from your mistakes. And, I think all of our guys, like we said before, all these guys have faced adversity, in their past from an NFL or college perspective. And so these guys know how to handle these things.
Related to that,
you guys want them to think of this as kind of like being a point guard, making the right decisions, taking the shots when they're there and whatnot in order to really get acclimated to the system. How have they been kind of adjusting to that? And is today kind of a red zone day more prominent with that kind of logic?
Well, certainly I think a lot of it comes down to that decision-making, that consistency, them just going through, playing really, really fast and decisive. I think, sometimes we can make quarterback position as complicated as we want it to. And these guys got to have a clean process, trust the process, make really good decisions, get the ball out of their hands. And I think these guys are doing a really good job of that.
What was in Philly where you had one of the top 1-3 punches as receiver in the league? Where do you view Chidi Olave on their path having that kind of impact?
They're heading in the right direction, and they're doing an awesome job. Obviously, you see it out there on the field. They've been really productive in the NFL. And now it's a matter of just, being out there and being consistent and continuing to play. And so we feel like we got a great group there.
Julian Blackman, what did you like about him?
Yeah, I mean, he's a big-time player. Julian, he's played in this league for a number of years now, played at a really, really high level, productive. He's got ball skills. He's got a great feel for the game. You know, he's got a really diverse background as far as playing corner in college, playing some safety. And so he brings some versatility. And so we like that about him, and we're fired up to get him.
What do you like about Bub versus things like standout?
Yeah, Bub's done a nice job. I think, you know, one of those guys, when you get into that second year, there's always that second year jump. And so your first year, there's a lot of stuff going on in the NFL. And then your second year, you start finding your rhythm. And so we expect that from Bub. He's done a nice job this offseason, and he'll be ready to roll.
Can you rehash specifically just a few examples with Spencer Rattler of what you did like from his film coming into this year?
Yeah, I thought, he had a tremendous ability to start fast and play really, really decisive last year. And I thought, there's some really big-time games in there where, you know, he was decisive. He'd take shots in the pocket and deliver at a big-time level. He had a couple late in the year where he hung in there. He's dealing with some adversity. He's hanging in there and throwing deep outs and over routes. And so, he has some athleticism that's sometimes sneaky that shows up, certainly on game day when it's live bullets. And so, he does a really good job there.
There's a little chunk of Saints head coach Kellen Moore after the second day of Saints training camp. And you heard he was asked about a little bit of a dust up at camp today. The first fight of training camp, and Charlie, involving 5'10" Brandon Cooks and 6'2" Rajon Wright. I'm curious, dying to know what was said there.
Yeah, I know, huh? But also his comments about the wide receiver room, I think, were pretty interesting. A lot of people, they're missing that big body guy, the guy that can go over the middle of the field and make a catch. They got plenty of speed there. We talked with Haas about the wide receivers and what he's seen so far. Because as we've mentioned, you can't really see much with the trenches until they put on the pads. But you can still kind of gauge wide receivers versus DBs and those kind of battles on top of the quarterback battle. And he said a lot of, obviously, the speed element, right? With Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, Brandon Cooks. It's on full display. But yeah, I do wonder what kind of was said there to create that dust up between Brandon Cooks and Rajon Wright, the DB.
What's funny is two Oregon State guys, too. I don't know if they have like a past history with each other.
I would need to look up. I don't think so. I think that Rajon Wright is probably significantly younger than Brandon Cooks.
Right, but I don't know. Like maybe they had a run-in at school when maybe Cooks went and visited back. Something there. I was just curious. Like it was funny to me that there is that Oregon State versus Oregon State crime going on right now.
You would think it would be like an Oregon player against Brandon Cooks. And do they still call it the Civil War? Oregon versus Oregon State.
I don't know if they do that anymore. Right?
That's unfortunate.
But yeah, so a little bit of a fracas going on in day two of camp. Nothing too serious. You saw a lot of players getting involved. Lonte Taylor getting in the middle of things. He wasn't even on the field. Was in there with no helmet on, trying to break things up with the guys. And Kellen Moore addressed that too, saying, these things happen at camp. As long as it doesn't become a consistent disturbance. Nobody was thrown out of the practice session for anything that went on today. So I'll be curious to see what moves on going forward. But yeah, day two, no pads still, and we had a little bit of animosity built up going on in this camp so far. We heard from Coach Kellen Moore there. We're going to take a break and hear from all three of the QBs today. Jay Kaner, Tyler Shuck, and Spencer Rattler speaking to the media. Was a busy day out there on Airline Drive. Want to hear from you also on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and text line. You can sound off 504-260-1870 with any questions about the black and gold. Taking a break right now. We'll be back with even more, though, after this break on WWL. We're back here on Sports Talk, and we believe in the power of being everywhere, folks. Listen to WWL anytime, anywhere. Get the WWL shows you love. It's Dave Cohen, Tommy Tucker, Newell School in Sports Talk, and all the local content that you crave. That's on Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and the TuneIn apps. Saints training camp day two, a wrap for the black and gold. Have plenty to talk about with the QBs in action today. All four spoke today, including Hunter Deckers, but we're going to get into audio from Jay Kaner, Tyler Shuck, and Spencer Rattler. Shuck had the first team reps with the black and gold today. He was kind of inconsistent day one, looked uncomfortable, and had a little bit of a bounce back today, though, as things started out a little rough for him and things got gradually better. Let's hear from the rookie. Second round pick, got his deal done, fully guaranteed. Tyler Shuck enjoying his first NFL training camp, and here's what he had to say today.
Tyler, whenever you're going today with this one, how does that change maybe your approach compared to the 22 teams?
For me, the approach is the same. I'm going to go in and command the huddle, to the best of my ability. But I think today I was really intentional, about my first time getting it with them, that coming in and having a presence, you know, being loud and being, you know, we're having that dialogue with all those guys. And I wanted them to know that I'm coming in, you know, ready to do the job. And I think it was a really good day operationally wise. And then it was a lot of fun being out there, even though it was a shorter red zone day, but to kind of keep rolling, you know, it felt really good.
Where do you feel like you're at, like, just as far as, like, your comfort level, feeling like, you know, piling shock every time you go out there?
Yeah. I think for me, you know, every day I feel like I get better. I think the biggest thing, like, yesterday we're going, you know, every play is not going to be perfect, but I think how we kind of responded and how I kind of come back each day, that's the biggest thing I'm looking for, because we're all in the same new offense. You know, we're not going to be operating like it's, you know, week 17 for everybody. We're having we got to be sharp mistakes wise. I got to have better ball placement. Almost every time I'm trying to get better. So to your point, no, I'm not exactly where I want to be at all, but I think that's a good thing. I think we have a lot more, you know, ways to grow, and that's the part I think Kellen and all the staff do a really good job with, you know, putting a lot of stuff on our plate, but at the same time understanding, you know, how we can be successful.
How do you feel like your path, like, to get here with the injuries and the setbacks?
Not, yeah.
Like, how do you feel like that's maybe, like, polished you for, like, a situation like this to handle it maybe in the best way possible?
It's helped me out so much, because I think just even your day-to-day interactions with guys, you know, having fun, joking around with Cam Jordan, joking around with guys that are vets, and maybe when you're a 20, 21-year-old rookie, you're kind of coming in just whatever. But I think, you know, we're all trying to get to the bowl. We're all trying to do everything that we can do to get better. So having played in five different systems, having been a backup, been hurt, all those things, and been a starter, and it's really helped me just day-to-day wise, and then also learning the new system and commanding the huddle and those things, but trying to find little ways to keep sharpening it.
When you're in a competition, do you have to try to caution against, like, sticking mentally on, like, a negative play? Or even a positive one, and just like really moving on to the next play, and just kind of having that kind of mental.
Yeah, I think in general, you know, we're in practice. They're scripted scenarios. We're scripted. You know, it's not the flow of a game. We're trying to operate within the best. So a lot of times, a throwaway or you know, not taking a sack here or putting on this is sometimes good plays, and they may not look good in comparison to, you know, if I have a good throw or Spencer has a good throw or Jake has a good throw. I try and go at it and just, you know, win that rep, and I think that's the whole goal. So. For me, you know, I've been in a bunch of different competitions. Human nature is like, oh, this guy threw it deep. I want to throw it deep. But
right.
The biggest thing the coach is looking for and I want to do is just execute it to the best of my ability, and then the good things will happen.
Tyler, getting back to the adversity that you faced in college.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you're in camp, do you feel that you stayed in school has helped you out tremendously?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it has, just because – one, like I said earlier, just from operating within the building standpoint, comfortability there, and then also just kind of coming out to practice, you say, and having that sharpness. And I also understand how Foster and Taysom are feeling right now, and you're on the sideline, and you're itching to get back. And I can see it in their eyes, because I've been there, and I would do anything to get back on the field. And that's kind of how I'm treating every single day, competing and trying to be the starter and trying to do everything I can to help the team, because I think we got, you know, all the talent in the world for this team-wise. And I think that me, Spencer, Jake, Hunter, our job is just kind of facilitate it and do the best we can.
How would you describe this quarterback room, the way you guys are getting along?
Oh, it's
just
awesome.
Everything about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's been awesome. I think the best thing is that we're all kind of around the same age. I feel like we all kind of have a really unique experience. You know, yeah, I'm a rookie, but I've also seen some stuff in college. You know, Jake's seen a lot of stuff in the NFL and had to battle through some stuff. So is Spencer. And I think we kind of have that great mindset of we're competing, but we're having fun, and we're trying to get better. So it's been really fun so far, and I'm excited to kind of keep battling.
Saints rookie QB Tyler Shough talking to the media today. Got his run with the first teamers the first day of camp. It was Spencer Rattler. And it looks like tomorrow we'll get a look at Jake Haener with the first team offense. You know, Kellen Moore trying to distribute these reps evenly. To get a better determination of this QB battle. And man, oh man, you know, things are going on without pads right now. Definitely looking forward to that happening on Monday. And then I'm telling you, Charlie, once we get into pads, it's going to be like, well, I want to see some real competition.
Yes.
And then you'll be looking forward to preseason games.
And then once you get to the preseason, you want the real stuff.
Right, you'll be annoyed that, this isn't real football. I need the real deal.
Yeah, I know. And Mickey Loomis was really quick when someone had talked about the quarterback competition and they mentioned Tyler Shough, they mentioned Spencer Rattler. He said it's a three-way competition. He threw that in there pretty slyly, but he definitely said it. Jake Haener is involved, and that's why, you know, I don't think Kellen was necessarily concrete about Jay Kaner getting first team reps, but I think that's kind of what they're going with right now.
Yeah.
I just remember when we spoke with Scott Shanley about it, that holding a three-team quarterback, like three-team or three-player positional battle anywhere on the football field is difficult with A, the shortened preseason, and B, you know, just one practice session per day and no more two-a-days or anything like that. And then break days as well, where Kellen had said that the 3 days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of this week, it's the longest they can go consecutively holding practice. So holding a positional battle between three players vying for one spot is difficult given the limited reps, especially for the quarterback position, though. So we'll see how long it actually is, a three-man race. I think ultimately once you get to the preseason, I mean, guys are going to start to separate themselves. That's kind of what Deuce had said earlier on when he was speaking with Mike Haas in the post-practice interview. And what Mike Haas had said, too, that the preseason will ultimately determine multiple spots, and the quarterback battle should probably be one of those.
Yeah, you mentioned with those limited snaps that are available for the quarterbacks right now. Through 2 days, Hunter Deckers has not taken a single rep.
Exactly. I mean, and I think it's going to start to become the 1v1, and we'll see what Jay Kaner has to say about that. If he comes out and has an incredible practice session tomorrow, you know, good on him. He'll keep it within a three-man race. And we'll hear from him in just a second. I used the bite for the flash from Hander where he said, I know that I'm an underdog in this, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, right.
I like being the underdog, you know, saying the right things.
The biggest deterrent with Hander for me is just the fact that in the action we have seen him in the regular season, eight games, seen limited action, but it just wasn't very impressive.
Exactly.
Nothing really stood out to you that looked like something where he could be a viable starter in the NFL.
That's kind of what I was going for, Steve. I think it just feels like ultimately it's going to be this two-man race between the second-round pick, your rookie QB, and the guy that started seven games for you last year in Spencer Rattler. And we'll see what happens. But yeah, it's a long process. As Scott said, we hope that it will be figured out by week two of the preseason. And then you can go into the final week of the preseason knowing who your starting quarterback is, and you can get ready for the start of the regular season. But if these guys stay razor thin and if it's tight margins around the edges, who knows how long it's going to take.
Going back into our, you know, sound bank for training camp, brought to you by First American Bank. Guy getting reps with the second team was Spencer Rattler. Man, he started out camp day one, a 9-for-9 start. Had another strong day today, but he did throw the first interception of training camp today. But at least he rebounded and was able to guide a touchdown drive right after that. Here's what Spencer Rattler had to say after his second day of camp.
Spencer, does anything change about your process when you're in like a competition like this mentally? You know, like, do you seek out like a mental coach? Do you think about how you're going to approach a competition versus going into something with a known role?
No, I mean, I think you just gotta try to be at your best every day. Try to get better and better each day, and you know, try to make the guys around you, the team around you, better when you're in. And you know, like we say, iron sharpens iron, and all of us love competing. I mean, it's just part of the game. You're going to compete in whatever role you got. So, you know, looking forward to the opportunity, having fun with it.
Last season, you kind of been a competition, I guess, for like the backup spot.
Yeah.
So do you kind of get something out of that or draw something from that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's similar, another competition, you know, just for a different role. You know, feel good coming into this, felt good coming in OTAs, minicamp, and feel good right now. Obviously, a lot of stuff to clean up, but everybody looks good. The guys look good. Loving our QB room. I think it's been great. We love building with each other, and then we go out there and compete. So I think it's great for all of us.
Does it become hard to strike a balance between working on something that's maybe not a strength and trying to learn to do that better versus trying to just get the best results possible, especially in like 11-on-11?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you want to have the best results possible every time you step on the field, 7-on, 11-on, and then you can take care of the little things you want to clean up after practice like we do. But really, it's just the operation, the communication, how smooth is it? Can we get in and out the huddle? And, you know, I'd say that's the biggest part.
Coach, how great you were able to respond from the interception and you took it in yourself. What was your process like mentally to do the pick when you ran it?
Yeah, you know, it was a really clean day up until that. I think that's the biggest focus is we had to keep, you know, finish the day out strong. You know, you got to start fast and finish faster. But, yeah, just got to, you know, make a smart play, throw it away further if I'm going to do it in the back of the end zone. But you got to respond, next play mentality. They want to open it up. go ahead and run it in.
Is that what happened on that play? You didn't throw it away far enough?
Got to put more on it. Just missed it. Bad decision.
How much do you, like, how do you handle that? When you, I mean, obviously the next play was a solid play, but are you good at, do you think, at flushing that and forgetting it?
I think you have to be. Can't let it, you know, phase you, because there's another play. You're going to be back on the field again, but you want to limit those as much as you can, especially in the red zone.
How was the work this offseason with Chris and Rasheed, and how does that kind of impact y'all coming into this play?
Yeah, I think it helped a lot, you know, having those guys out for 2 days. Got a lot of good work in out there, and just builds chemistry, builds consistency, and, you know, I think connecting with those guys a little better now, you know, than last year, obviously not getting as many reps with them. So it was great to have those guys out and build on what we already did in OTAs and minicamp.
How big of a, like, ignoring the noise, especially in a situation like this, like, how big of a component is that to just, like, staying mentally right to be able to ride?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to hear the noise, obviously. It's just part of the profession. But, you know, we've been hearing noise for a long time now, so nothing new at this point. Just have to keep, you know, keep the work habits in building, you know, keep building with the guys and go out there and put a good product on the field.
Spencer Rattler addressing the media today. Last season in his rookie year with the Black and Gold, he appeared in 7 games, started 6, ended up completing 57% of his passes, had 1,300 yards passing, 4 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, a bad one though too, 22 sacks on the year. We know the offensive line, things, you know, didn't go great for anything around the Black and Gold last year, and injuries just decimated this team. But that was something where he needed to get rid of the ball a lot quicker than last year. And you see a guy that comes into this season, he just has that air about him with the confidence. I think even as a rookie, you kind of, you sense that swag, that you call that, I think, the aura about him.
That's why Saints fans fell in love with him right off the bat, is that he had some sort of aura. I know that's such a zoomer term. It is what it is. He had a swagger to him right off the bat that a lot of people connected with. And I know the 0-7 record was a legitimate thing, but Spencer Rattler, you hear the accountability too in him talking about the interception that he did throw in practice today, where he just said that he didn't get enough under it. He was trying to throw it out, and he said it was a bad decision by him. You know, that was one thing that Kellen said in that first interview that we, or the first presser that we had played in this hour, was that he wants to see how those players respond to adversity. And that's, you know,
it's like when a kid does something bad, you know, he made a mistake,
right?
Slap him on the hand, and you know that's going to be in Rattler's head next time, and he's not going to underthrow the ball out of bounds next time.
Took the words right out of my mouth. That's exactly what I was going to say. So, you know, looking forward to seeing how Rattler continues to progress throughout camp. It was something that we had mentioned as well earlier in the show, that for a guy that has NFL experience, that has gone through an NFL training camp, he probably should look like the better starting quarterback in this competition over Tyler Shuck right off the bat. We'll see if that changes over the next couple of weeks and if Shuck gets more comfortable. But at least immediately, you know, it's kind of status quo as far as Rattler looking like the better and more comfortable QB.
The other QB in the mix, Jay Kaner. Again, today he took reps with the third team. Looked good, though. Connected with Juwan Johnson, the tight end, on a pair of nice throws. Went for a toe-tap touchdown. Looking like a confident player out there. Speaking like a confident guy as well. We're going to get into the audio now after practice of what Jay Kaner had to say.
Do you find that you kind of have to have the same mentality when it comes to strong days? Like, we always talk about having a short-term memory.
I just think it's trying to be consistent. And when you're in a camp like this, it's, I mean, I don't know, 25 to 30 practices and 3 preseason games. Like, you guys were out there last year. I felt like last year I kind of had a slow build, and then the last 20 practices it was just consistent. Consistent, because the coaches are going to want to put the most consistent guy out there. Doesn't turn the ball over. Has a great command of the offense. Can get the guys into the right situation at the right time. And I think with a guy like Kellen, he wants to be able to kill plays, check plays, be able to alert things. You know, and I think in this system, yeah, the play calls are cut down a little bit, but there's a lot on our plate as far as recognizing coverage, understanding protection, and then obviously getting our guys in the right play, going from one play to another. So I think that's obviously really important, but I think showing consistency day in and day out with those key things helps him win a job.
I know you find that his emphasis on kind of like focusing on what you all do well kind of puts you in a better position to do that than maybe you have been.
Yeah, you know, they're going to install their offense. They're going to do the things that they want to do now and try to get a feel for what guys can run, what routes, who the choice route runners are, you know, what kind of things play into that game. And then you know, so on and so forth. But I think as far as installing, like, we're going to install base downs, we're going to install third down, we're going to install red zone, we're going to go shot plays, we're going to go put our situational stuff in, 2 minute. None of that's going to be tailored to any player right now. It's going to be who can execute and who can do the things that our offense requires us to do. And then I think on game day, whoever the starter is, we'll tailor things to make it to the point where, hey, I know this guy likes this. Maybe let's put a little more of that into the game plan, if that makes sense. What makes him comfortable? And I think those are the biggest things that make a really good play caller a good play caller.
Jake, compared to last year,
You know, I think the biggest thing, like every year, there's always probably something. This year, it's just I haven't played football in 8 months. So, you know, I got 6 plays, a 7-on-7 in OTAs, and that was it. I was watching. So I think, you know, the biggest thing is just adapting to a new system, plays I have never run before. You know, it was similar at Fresno State because Kirby, Kellen's brother, was my coordinator. And he ran a similar type offense, but it's different coaching now. It's different things that they're asking us to do with our feet. So I think just getting in a rhythm with that and then slowly kind of, not slowly, learning quickly. You have to get in this obvious situation, competition. You have to get on track fast, and you have to start executing at a high level. So I think just getting back to playing football is you know, been my take on it.
With guys like Kellen and Doug Nussmeier and quarterback coach Scott Tolzien. Yeah. How does that help to replace with, you know, lacks as far as a veteran quarterback in there for themselves?
Yeah, I mean, those guys all play quarterback, right? So, you know, I think at the end of the day, they're going to be able to give us a lot of insight and a lot of things on, you know, hey, we see it this way. You might want to see it through this lens. You know, I think those are all perspectives that can be beneficial to young quarterbacks, seeing things through different lenses that we might. I think a powerful statement is you don't know what you don't know. And sometimes those guys have been around it for 15, 20 years. We got Coach Linehan in there too, coordinator, head coach, seen a lot of things. So I just think being able to ask those guys questions and hearing their feedback in the meeting room is just the same as hearing it from a guy that's been in the league 10 years because they were in the league for that one.
Jake, I know we're like 5% in the probably what the defense is going to show you guys, yeah. But like, what are some of the wrinkles that Staley had, some of the things they try to do to make
it? I mean, they're keeping it pretty basic right now. They threw a zero at us today, saw, you know, coming from both sides, mugging it with the Mike backer. But I think right now off the bat, I think the one thing that Staley does, that if you go look on tape, he tries to hold that shell for a really long time and make it to the, you know, the quarterback side that it's shell defense. And then they're going to drop one from the sky, you know, kind of have that 60-40 lean safety, play variations of three, play cover eight, quarter, half, play quads, play quarters. And then they're going to, you know, have some blitz replace stuff too as well. And I think the biggest thing for us quarterbacks is seeing different looks, seeing different pressures, understanding when we're hot. And I think that's the biggest thing too. When we're new quarterbacks in a new system, understanding like, okay, hey, this is your built-in hot to this side. Oh, hey, I need to point this guy to understand that he's the hot here. So I just think protections in the beginning stages of training camp are really big to emphasize. And once we start getting more comfortable with that, the faster you play.
When they do kind of hold this for a long time, like, what does that do to yours? Does it just kind of add a little?
You look at linebacker displacement, you kind of see, like, hey, is this a gap defense? Like, if this linebacker is inside the three technique, like, oh, I might have some type of rotation from that side. And then understanding kind of little intricacies that can help you out to making decisions that much faster.
That was Saints quarterback Jake Haener there speaking to the media today. And yeah, he had a rough year last season. I mean, a lot of it's easy to say about a lot of Saints players, but in 8 games he appeared, he had 1 start, completed just 46% of his passes, threw for 226 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, was sacked 6 times. And you definitely felt like we saw when Spencer Rattler was going through his struggles, would maybe go back to Haener to see what he could do, and he just never got another shot at it.
I think he was benched at halftime in the game that he did start.
Right, too, exactly. Right,
Steve,
correct.
If I remember correctly. I mean, Haener is one of those ones that I remember, like, when we were talking about him at training camp last year specifically, he's showing flashes at training camp. And then you get into the preseason, and it's like once you get under the lights, you can be a different player. When there's no pressure in practice versus when there is pressure and taking snaps in a real game, whether that be preseason or the regular season. And some guys are just built kind of differently. And it feels like, I mean, we'll see what Jake Haener does in the preseason this year because he's obviously going to get his own reps in those preseason matchups. But that was kind of the standout thing for me with him is that yes, even though he did show flashes at training camp, he never really was the in-game player that you're kind of hoping he would be.
Right. You don't want to ever be tabbed all airline drive, the old right. Metairie team.
Exactly.
All that QB sound today brought to you by Sound, the Sound Bank, brought to you by First American Bank. We're going to take a break here on Sports Talk, return with even more of our Saints talk right after this on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, and we're heading to that Oakwin Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Got Jimmy on the line. How's it going, man? You been able to go out to Saints camp yet?
You know what, man? I kind of burned all my hall passes. You know, I'm going to go see Bobcat Goldthwait from Police Academy tonight at Southport okay. Hall. In case you guys are getting, maybe Diane Newman could give you guys the business account, credit card, come on down. Come see some Police Academy tonight at the Southport Hall with Bobcat. And, hey, and Bobby's been missing in action. He told me a couple weeks ago he was going to the Creed concert this Saturday in New Orleans at the Smoothie King Center, but I hope to see him there. Last time I saw him at an event was at a Pelicans game. But, yeah, I think the big question now is, you guys were talking about on the show earlier, is the wide receiver room. I know we kind of, you know, in the past we had bigger receivers, and our tight end room with the injuries and, yeah. you know, Juwan Johnson, we have high expectations for him, but he just hasn't met them yet. Taysom Hill, the tight end experiment, he's out. Foster Moreau. So, I mean, where's our size in the receiving core to go get passes from young quarterbacks that we are going to have who aren't going to be the most accurate guys? We need some big guys who can get up there, i.e. like a Marcus Colston type. And I'm just looking at it. You got Shaheed with speed, and you got Olave, who's great when he's healthy and doesn't have a concussion. But who do you guys see as the third and fourth guy, or really the emerging guy, or the guy that has to step up? Is it Bub Means? Is it Juwan Johnson? I want to get your take on that.
Well, Jimmy, I think the third guy is going to be Brandon Cooks. But after that, I would think you're hoping Bub Means makes some kind of jump into year two. He got banged up last year, but he's a guy that's 6'2", 215,
right.
and could be that physical presence for you. You heard some glowing reviews from head coach Kellen Moore early on in OTAs, I believe, talking about Cedric Wilson Jr. having that contested catch ability. We kind of talked about when the lights are on. I just haven't seen it from him in game action, though,
he's
Charlie.
He's the Jay Kaner of the wide receiver room. The same happened last year where we were just saying, oh, he looks great. Like, this could be the wide receiver three of the Saints this season. And they just didn't really do anything once you got into game action. So, no, I agree with you, Steve. Brandon Cooks is that third guy behind Olave and Shaheed. And then it comes down to, like Jimmy was saying, they don't really have the big body guy in the wide receiver room. You're hoping that Bub Means can develop, but really haven't seen, you know, much because of the injuries this past year. Now, the kind of question becomes, do you treat Juwan Johnson kind of like a wide receiver instead of just being, I think he's going to be slotted out quite a bit. I don't think he's going to necessarily be asked to inline block all the time at the tight end position.
Sure.
So, yeah, that's probably the guy going over the middle of the field that you're going to be counting on to make those kind of contested catches is Juwan Johnson. So
that was something I brought up yesterday, though, in triple option. It's something I'm concerned about because if he gets hurt, your tight end room is a big old mess right now because of Foster Moreau and Taysom Hill on the physically unable to perform list.
Yeah, we're looking at like Jack Stoll, who they picked up from the Eagles throughout the offseason, who's, funny enough, viewed more as kind of the blocking tight end, although from what we had seen earlier in the offseason, he was kind of showing some flashes in the receiving game. I think Bobby was saying that he had dropped the ball, though, at camp already.
Michael Jacobson,
right.
he's looked good at camp so far, but that's another guy. He looks a little too – he needs to put on some more weight for me at that tight end position.
Basketball player to NFL player, trying to kind of complete that pipeline. We'll see what he can provide. But, yeah, the tight end room, I mean, it's something that I've complained a lot about for years now, that the Saints just kind of ignored it
in the draft, right?
Exactly. And they had a chance to go tight end in this year's draft, and they decided not to. So
they did late, but not early.
That is correct. Maliki Matavau in the 7th round. So, I mean, he's probably going to be in the mix as well as far as this tight end room goes. Dallin Holker retiring too, Steve. It's
right. Forgot about to add that to the mix of tight ends that are not around right now.
I mean, the Saints have roster questions across the board, but the tight end spot is definitely a big one.
And, you know, we've talked about this too. A lot of folks clamoring, why don't you sign the free agent in Noah Fant after he was relieved? Well, I don't know if his... his asking price is going to be on par with what the Saints are looking to spend, especially with you look at his production. I don't know if he's worth $8-9 million a year.
That's what Mike was concerned about, is that he's going to ask for too much, and the Saints just aren't going to be willing to meet that tag.
But maybe if there's no buyers out there, he's going to have to settle for whatever's available. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see where Noah Fant ends up going. I think Mike had said that he had visited with the Bengals recently.
So, okay.
We'll ultimately see what ends up happening there. But yeah, veteran tight end wouldn't be a spot, like you had said during triple option yesterday. If the Saints decide to go and pursue one, I wouldn't be upset.
Take that break here on Sports Talk. We'll return with even more. Stay tuned on WWL. We'll get more from our sound bank when we get back from the top of the hour news break. Taliese Fuaga joined me and Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak. Plus, we'll talk to Jeff at 7:30, get his practice notes. All that and more Saints talk right after this. Stay tuned on WWL. You know it, Saints Radio.